Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what? The worship sounds incredible. And you know what? The spirit in this room is fantastic. As Dave mentioned, my name is Dwayne. I am a disciple, proud disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And really just focused this morning on preaches God's word. And when Tony asked me to do this, he said, Dwayne, we'll know that if next week no one comes back, it's because of you, all right? So I get it. Tony Singh and Melanie are at a celebration of life right now, celebrating our brother, servant in the Lord, who is now with our incredible God in heaven, who passed last week, and Ron Petter, a servant who's been for many, many years, just being faithful, committed to his God, and now he has gone home. And a faith that, you know, is all of us are going to go there at some point, right? At some point, we're all going to hopefully see God's face in heaven. Before that, we're here. Amen? Before that, we're on earth. We're here to live a life. And I'm going to preach about that today. We're going to talk about we're here too. But before I get into my lesson this morning, I want to have our newest brother in the Lord stand up. Elijah Isaac was baptized 2 weeks ago. Where's Elijah? Come on. So awesome to have Elijah. We celebrated and baptized at our home. We had a great celebration, singing and just fellowship and time to spend together and just seeing his heart and his dedication to the Lord at such a young age is really incredible. I am not a young man. I'm 53 years old and I've been a disciple for 28 years. And amen. That's awesome, right? And, you know, sometimes we hear the term, he's a natural, or she's a natural. And usually when that term is voiced, it's because someone is naturally good at something, whether it's an athlete, naturally good at sports, or a musician, naturally good at singing, or, you know, my wife, when I first met Julie, I would consider her a natural runner. Natural. She would go out, she would run 5K, 10K, just and make it look easy. So very, very natural at it. A good friend of mine, Armand Doucette, I would consider him a natural talker. And anyone who knows Armand knows he loves to talk. All right? Amen? But he's natural at it. He pulls you in, he makes you comfortable. He just loves to engage you. Armand studied the Bible with me over 28 years ago, and it's because one of the reasons, because of him, I'm here today. Amen. You know, I would consider we're very fortunate here in Ottawa to have Tony Singh as a preacher, because Tony, I believe, is a natural preacher. Yeah. Like, he comes up here and he just, God speaks through him, yes, but he's very natural at it. Amen. Right? He's a given talent. So, you know, I'm up here now. We've had many brothers. Chris Patterson's another great brother. Dave Stevenson, who've come up here and preached the word. And they're very natural at it. They're very good. And because they use their talent, they use their charisma, but more importantly, they use their spiritual men. Amen. You know, I believe that talent and charisma can only get you so far. That's right. But true spiritual men come up here and preach the word, and they make it look easy. So a little sports analogy here, or I wouldn't even say analogy, a little sports reference. So who can tell me who's the best shooter in basketball ever? Shooter. Steph Curry. You got it. Steph Curry. Stephon Curry. Yeah. By far none, the best pure shooter in basketball. Steph Curry, and I'm just going to talk about the last 15 years. Steph Curry shoots at least 500 shots a day in the last 15 years of his professional career. So imagine before that when he was young how many shots he took. So 500 shots each and every day. So let's just calculate that. So 500 shots a day for, let's say, on average 30 days a month. So that's 15,000 shots a month. Multiply that by 12, it's 180,000 shots a year. Multiply that by 15 years, quick math, it's 2.7 million shots over the last 15 years, and that's of his professional career. Okay? Who can tell me, I wouldn't know this, so maybe you wouldn't, but who can tell me how many baskets in that Stephen Curry has made in the NBA over his career, over that 50 years? How many baskets he's made? How many shots he's actually made in that time frame, over 15 years?
90%?
Not 90%.
I think even up to 65.
He's made 43% of his baskets. 43% of his baskets. He's taken 17,000 shots, and he's only made 8,000 of those 17,000. So think of it. 2.7 million shots he's taken in practice to make 8,000 shots in the game. But most people think, hey, he's a natural, right? Most people think, oh, he can just make it naturally, but no. Yeah. Practice, right? So when you see someone up here, and I'm not saying of me, because I'm not a natural at this. This is not my forte. But when you see someone like a Tony Singh, or you see an athlete that does what they do, it's not because, yes, they have talent, but it's because they have practice. And they've done it, and they've done it, and they've done it, and they've done it. So, why did I bring this up this morning? Because as Christians, we're fortunate. We have the Word of God at our disposal. We can look at it any time we want. We have the roadmap, let's say, to get us to where we're going. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us, right? We're fortunate to have that counselor to guide us. Amen. And we have Jesus Christ as an example. God in the flesh who came down on earth, just like each and every one of us, human in human form, yet was perfect in every way. So we really don't have, we're without excuse. What excuse would we have to say, well, we have the Word, we have the Spirit, we have Jesus, we have the example, but all that is not or null and void if we don't put it into practice. Right? Put it into practice. A daily basis, weekly basis, regardless of what's going on in our lives, practice, right? So this morning I want to talk about why we're here. And I've got 3 points this morning. The first one I want to say, we are here to live. We're here to live. Let's turn with me to John 17 and verse 16, and we'll start there. But while you're getting there, my wife and I went to a party on Thursday evening. A good friend of ours plays in a band, and he's a guitarist and does some singing, and there were about 150 people there. It was an outdoor party and lots of food. And have you ever been to a party? It's easier when you're with someone, right? You have someone to talk to, you have someone to, you know, mingle with. But have you ever been to a party when you're on your own? And you go there and you're looking for someone to kind of, you know, maybe you know, but if you don't know anyone, you're standing around the food table and you're eating chips or something, and then you kind of look around and you think, you know, how long is it should I stand around this table before someone thinks it's weird that I'm standing here, right? So you feel kind of out of place. So I've done that many times. I go to a party and I don't know anyone, I'm looking around, I'm eating chips, and I keep looking and eating chips, and finally I go, I should probably move on because people think that I'm weird. But all I have to say is, we're all, at some point in our lives, we'll be in a place where we feel uncomfortable,
yeah.
Right? But you know what? At that point in time, God is telling you that's exactly where you need to be. You feel uncomfortable, you feel different, you feel out of place, that's okay, because that's exactly where you need to be.
Yeah.
So let's read together John 17, verse 16. It says, Jesus says, they are not of the world, just as I am out of the world. So if you feel out of place, all good. That's exactly where you're supposed to be. That's exactly where God wants you to be. So these words were part of Jesus' prayer as praying to his disciples, and a prayer that extends to each and every one of us today. Jesus prays for us, and he recognizes that while we live in this world, we're not of this world. But really, what does that mean? So what does that mean for each and every one of us here this morning? Let's understand the context of what Jesus was saying here and where he was speaking. So Jesus was about to be crucified, and he knew his disciples would face challenges. He knew his disciples would face hostility. He knew his disciples would be harried, as he said before. But in this prayer, he makes it clear that his followers, his disciples, have a different identity. We belong to God's kingdom. Our citizenship, as Ron is right now, is in heaven. Amen. We are different. And this is not just an abstract statement or a poetic statement or something to sound flowery. This is actually what God calls us to be, set apart and different. So in practical terms, being not of this world means that our values, our beliefs, our priorities are all different than what the world's priorities are. Now, we all know that's a challenge, right? We live in a world that is all about fame and power and wealth, self-indulgence. But we are called to be different. We are called to be set apart. We are called to be humble. We are called to be generous. We are called to be self-sacrificial. Not easy to do all the time, right? But really, this is how, as Christians, we are setting ourselves apart from the world. This is how the world will know and should know that we are followers of Christ. But just because we're in this world but not of it, doesn't mean we have to be, you know, keep ourselves separate from people. And Jesus makes it clear that while we are in this world, it doesn't mean we have to withdraw from the world, right? We're here to live. We're here to enjoy it. And on the contrary, it's in John 17, verse 18, it says, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." So your presence here on this earth has a purpose. Amen. You know, we are to be salt. We are to be light. We are to be witnesses of God in all that we do. Yeah. Let's turn together to Ecclesiastes 3. Let's get my phone out here. I can see better on my phone because, again, I'm getting old. But Ecclesiastes 3, starting in verse 10. Let's read this together. All right. So in verse 10 it reads, "I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God." So, we're not of this world, but we're in this world. But more importantly, God said it's a gift. He's given us this gift for us to live and drink and eat and be happy and love. This is God's gift to each and every one of us. So living this world means engaging in it, but it doesn't mean conforming to it. Yeah. Right? We have to be part of it. We're supposed to be men and women who build relationships, and we're working together, and we're contributing positively, all the while we maintain the distinctiveness of a Christian, a follower of Christ, being set apart. We're to reflect the qualities of Christ in our interactions, our daily interactions, at home, at work. This is what showing love and grace and integrity throughout our daily walk. You know, one thing that I think it was several months ago, Michael Lazine came, and he's a great brother and a Lord minister, and he talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And he talked about the nine, who can tell me the nine fruits of the Spirit? Who wants to be put on the spot? Julie? No? Anyone? Starting with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? Amen. So, how are we adding, how is our love today? Obviously, it's an early morning, so hopefully your love's great. Not you haven't been loving this morning. How is our joy this morning? Are we coming in here moping? Oh, what another tough day. Oh, I got a Monday morning, I got to work tomorrow. Are you at peace this morning? Are you being kind this morning? How is your patience this morning? Did your spouse upset you and you're rushing out the door and like, let's go. Come on, kids, get in the car, we gotta go. How is your goodness this morning? Are you being faithful this morning? Are you being gentle this morning? Are you in self-control? So beautiful. Those words are just, they sound so nice, right? But are we putting them into practice in our lives? So these things are, you know, all part of things that the way we need to live our lives. In this world, but not of this world. But truly, we all know it's not easy to be different. It's not easy to stand out. Sometimes, you know, standing firm in our faith is sometimes like trying to teach, in my case, my father how to use his smartphone. You know, it takes patience. It's like, Dad, press this button. Huh, what button's that? Press that. Dad, no. So it takes patience, and sometimes you don't think it's going in, right? But it's important to understand that in Romans 12:2 it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Amen. So in the moment when you're feeling that angst, when you feel sometimes the world is pressing in on you, or you're feeling you're impatient, or you're feeling challenged, this is the scripture we should think about. You know, transforming our minds, thinking about those fruits of the Spirit, thinking about how can I apply that right now. Even at this moment, as frustrated as I feel, I can be in self-control. As upset as I feel at my wife right now because she doesn't understand me, I can show patience. My kids messed up again. Hey, Carson? I got three great boys, and actually Carson leaves today to participate in a volleyball opportunity at the national level, so maybe you'll see him in the Olympics in 8 years, but maybe you won't. You know, 8 years is a long time, right? But no, it's, God has blessed him with some talents, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Talents are great, but are they being used for the right purpose?
Amen.
All right? So, but all I have to say is the challenge of not conforming starts with the transformation of our mind. Renewing that mind on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, sometimes on every minute, every second. Just changing the way we think about the challenges or what's in front of us. Let's turn to John. I shouldn't have to turn there, but it'll be on the screen. So John 16:33. We can find encouragement. We can find hope in this passage. And I love this passage because it says, in this world, John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
So even Jesus acknowledges that, you know, in this world we're going to have some challenges, right? It's not always going to go smooth. You know, we're going to have difficulties, we're going to face opposition, we may face persecution, there'll be trials, but amen, we're not alone. Jesus is with us. He's already overcome the world. That's why we have this opportunity. So grateful. So thankful. We have the victory already. So we've already won. Amen? So our hope is not of the fleeting things in this world and all the exciting things and the fame and the TikTok videos and all these things that people run after or seems that it looks perfect to the outside world. But we all know. We all have troubles. We all have trials. And our hope is not in these fleeting things. Are we extremely blessed to live in Canada? Yes. Are we extremely blessed to live in Ottawa? Awesome. That's great. But this is not our hope. Our hope is in heaven. Amen? And we need to just focus on that vision where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more crying. We have that opportunity to see God's face in heaven and the hope of that in our lives. So we are here to live. We're here to live on this earth, but again, we're of this world, but not, we're in this world, but not of this world. So let's, point number two, we are here to give. And I know, everyone's gonna say, okay, Dwayne's gonna talk about money, here we go. But I think it's more than that. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. We'll read this together. Because many of us, when we think about giving, think about it financially. And that, yes, that is a part of it. But really, giving is more, I think, financial giving is an aspect of our faith, but it's a broader thing. There's a richer understanding of what we can get from this, I believe. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it reads, each one must give as he decides in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we're here to give. And giving starts with love. I remember a story. I grew up Anglican. And, you know, in the Anglican church, you know, you may notice we don't pass around a plate here, but the Anglican church, the Catholic church passes around the offering. And there was a story I heard once about this boy. And he said whispered to his mother when the plate was going around, he said, you know, if God loves a cheerful giver, why does the pastor look so angry? You know, sometimes, you know, we look at this passage and we think, you know, God loves us to give with joy. He loves us to give all that we have with a joyful heart, not under compulsion, not under obsession, not under being prodded or feeling pressured to. But this verse gives us a glimpse of God's heart. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Not a begrudging giver. And again, we're not talking about money here, but we're talking about just giving of ourselves. And we'll talk about a few other points here. But when we think about giving, it must start with love. In John 13:34, it says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So our giving, whether it's our time, whether it's our talents, whether it's financially, has to come from a place of love. Amen. Yeah. Has to come from a place where we generally love to give. And when we love others as Christ loved us, giving becomes natural. We talked about being natural, right? It just becomes natural. And we'll talk a bit about in a bit, but really just giving is, it should just be an overflowing of the heart. And the Bible does talk about that as well. So being cheerful, it's a natural response to the incredible gift that God has given us and that Jesus has given us in our lives. I'm sure most of you will agree with me if I tell you that probably, who can tell me what the most valuable thing that we all have is right now? Outside of Jesus. Sorry? So, you got it. Time. Time. Right? Time waits for no man or woman, right? And we only have a finite amount on this earth. Amen. Hopefully we have an eternity in heaven. But as it stands right now, we have a finite time on this earth. And it's so precious to us. Julie and I had a couple over last night, excuse me, and we were talking about the COVID time. And I know it was a difficult time for many people, and unfortunately many people passed away. But during that time, the world slowed down. Do you remember that? No more rushing around. No more driving to volleyball, driving to hockey, driving to soccer, running here, running there. No, it was, hey, we're at home. Yeah. You know, and as challenging as that time was, it was a great time. We spent quality time with the family. We were playing board games. We had great discussions. And then, you know, life happens, right? Now we're back to the fast-paced life. Now, some people took that time to actually, hey, I'm retiring. I've had enough. I've had enough of this rat race. And it's true. Many, unfortunately, nurses and some doctors, they said, you know what? I don't want this anymore. I don't want this fast-paced life anymore. I value the time that I have, and I only have so much left. And I want to make sure that it's spent wisely. But Jesus, throughout his ministry, demonstrated the importance of giving time. He was never in a hurry, ever. He took the time to be with outcasts. He took the time to be with the downtrodden. He took the time to teach his disciples. He took the time to heal the sick. And everyone was after Jesus, as you know. Everyone wanted to be close to Jesus, but yet he still took the time. No one with Jesus felt ignored. We're called to do the same. We're called to be men and women who take the time. And giving means being present with people. It's not just standing there and someone's talking and you're looking over here, and you're looking over there. No, it's actually being present. It's being engaged. It's listening. You know, some people may, I know Valerie does this a lot. She goes and volunteers. I think it's at the mission or, you know, takes her time. She doesn't have to do that. Takes her time to go volunteer at the mission. Look around this room. These chairs, they didn't set up themselves. Coffee at the back didn't get put there together. Sound system and all this stuff that we do. People are taking their time to come here and give back. It's all part of giving. You know, our presence, whether it's doing the little things or what we think are the little things, can make a profound difference in someone's life. Listening to them, showing them that we care, showing that we value them, showing them that they're not alone.
Amen.
So important, church. So we talked about our time, we talked about love, let's talk about our talents. Each and every one of us in this room has a talent. Even though you don't think you do, you do. Every single one of us has a talent because God has given us all talents. God has given us all abilities. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So just sit here this morning, think about the talents you have. Maybe it's the talent of encouraging. Maybe it's the talent of working with your hands and helping someone build something. Maybe it's the talent of just listening. Maybe it's the talent of serving. Think about those talents because these are all gifts that we can give back in so many different ways. And that God calls us to give. You know, you may or not know, I love to sing. And, you know, I enjoy worship. I enjoy singing. And if you ask my family, I'm singing around the house all the time. All the time around the house. Music's on. I'm singing. I'm sure Carson goes like this a lot and whatnot. But you know what? I think it's a gift that God's given me to be able to lead worship that way. Amen. And I love to. So again, if it's music, if it's your time, if it's volunteering in the children's ministry, if it's setting up the service here, all these different talents that we have, we need to use for God. Amen?
Amen.
Lastly, of course, we'll talk about finances. Giving is an important aspect of a generous life. And it's not the amount that you give. Again, it's about the heart of how you give. Are you giving with love? We know Mark 12, 41 to 44, we read about the widow's offering. And while the rich were puffed up and they gave large amounts so that everyone could see how much they gave, this poor widow put in two small copper coins. And Jesus said she gave more than all the others because she gave out of her poverty all that she had. God is not asking you to give something you don't have. He's not asking you to go in debt to give. So please don't hear me when I say that. It's not about the amount, it's about the heart. So please make sure that you understand that, because God isn't looking for a specific amount. He's not looking for, but he's looking for a heart that gives generously, freely, and a natural response to that giving. As we know, financial support, giving supports, as we know right now, we're in our special missions, giving supports works not only here in the community, here in the church, but also spreading the gospel, not only here in Ottawa. Ottawa is our world right now, but right now we're online. Many people are looking at this and maybe seeing, wow, here's a community that gives, right? But not because of our abundance, because of what God calls us to do, amen? And lastly, living a life of generosity means giving not just out of something we do occasionally. I don't feel like giving today, so I won't give. But it's something that should be part of our lives again. It should be natural. Out of the overflowing of the love that God continues to shower on us and bless us with. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give.
Amen.
Freely you have received, freely give. We have received so much from God. His love, his grace, his blessings, and so much more. So let us be men and women who freely give, and again, not out of compulsion, and not out of being forced to, but out of a heart of love and of a heart to give as God calls us to give. So that's the second point. Yeah, so give. So we're here to live, and we're here to give. So you're probably thinking it's going to be something rhyming with that, right? It's not. We're here to live, we're here to give, and we're here to love. Third point, we're here to love. And again, we read this already, but let's turn there. John 13, 34 to 35, it reads, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So again, and this kind of love, some people say, "Ooh, love, this is the mushy stuff." This is not the love that you see in the movies or the Hallmark cards. It's a deeper kind of love. This is a love that if you're driving and you get cut off, and it's okay. I'm going to smile. I'm going to pray for that person, right? That's the type of love that we need to have, right? Because we all know what we want to do in that case, right? So this is the love that God calls us to do. And it's not a love that we have in our lives. It's a love that God showed us. through his sacrifice of his son, through the love and the blessings and just so much that he gives us. It's a love that God calls us to emulate in our lives each and every day. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just a nice idea. It's a commandment, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So the real question is, how do we live this out in our daily lives? So let's talk about a few things here, a few points, and try to make it practical as we move forward here. So first we need to understand how to love. And we first must look at how God loves us. And God's love is not this big, or this big, or this big. God's love is unconditional. God's love is infinite. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on our merits. It's not based on whether we have hair or not, or if we're well-dressed or not. God's love is unconditional. He loves each and every one of us unconditionally. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God shows us his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God's love reaches out to us even when we're at our worst. Think about that. When we're at our worst, God reaches out for us. It's a love that seeks the best for each and every one of us. Doesn't look at us with a stain. Doesn't look at us with a blemish. Even at our worst, he wants the best for each and every one of us. God's love is sacrificial. I'm just going to turn to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Just go there quickly. You with me, church? Still here? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. 1 John 4, verse 9, it reads, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The ultimate demonstration of God's love is the sacrifice of his Son for each and every one of us. Though we certainly don't deserve it, never have, never will, yet continue to demonstrate that love by sacrificing Jesus on the cross. He gave everything for us, even his own life. So this is the love that we're called to reflect. This is the love we're called to exude in our lives each and every day. And I know you're saying, Dwayne, this is the ideal. This is utopia. No one can love like that. God calls us to. So let us strive to be more and more like God in this area. John 13, 34, 35, the second part reads, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So our love should be a distinguishing mark as a Christian. People should look at us and say, wow, he's different. Komi's different. She loves in a way that, something about her, she loves in a way that's not normal. JK's different. Why does she love that way? Why is she so happy all the time? That's weird. You know? But you know what, again? Being set apart, right? People should see that mark as a Christian. People should see that love. Doesn't mean we're perfect, no. But it does mean that people realize, hey, they are different. That even when they mess up, they want to get better. Amen? You know, it's funny. Loving people, I think, as humans, is not necessarily the easiest thing, especially, but we're called to love, obviously, the community here. We're also called to love our neighbors, right? Because in the community here, as you know, you look around this room, we're all very, very different. Varied backgrounds, varied beliefs, not from a Christian perspective, very varied upbringings, yet here we are, called to love each other. Called to love each other the way God loves us. And you know, it's easy to love someone who you get along with, right? Simple. Hey, I like you, great. We have the same interests, you know, we love music, we love sports, we love golf. Super easy, or easier, I should say. Shouldn't say easy, but easier. But what happens to that person that greets you the wrong way, right? We talked about the fruits of the Spirit, so love is patient. Love is kind. Love is being willing to forgive, right? And that, it's easy to say, okay, well, that person rubbed me the wrong way, so I don't need to forgive them. No, that's not what it is. It's bearing others' burdens. It's actually listening and actively listening. It's choosing to see the best in others.
Amen.
How often do we do that? Wow. A lot of times it's easy to choose to see the worst in others, right? Oh, what's that person doing? Being very critical. But no, it's choosing to see out, seeing through all, look at the forest of the trees, they call it, right? All the garbage, or peel back that onion and see the good in that person. That's what true love is. So when we love each other in this way, we reflect the heart of God. And we reflect the heart of God to a world that's watching. Don't think the world's not watching. Everywhere we go, whatever we do, you call yourself a Christian, the world is watching. So we need to reflect that on a daily basis. And even when we mess up, we need to continue to reflect what God calls us to be. Men and women who love unconditionally, who love sacrificially, who love the way that He loves us. Amen? A few more points here and we'll wrap up. So we talk about loving the community here at large and loving your brothers and sisters, and it's easy, you know, we worship together, Sundays are awesome, we have a baptism at our home the other day, and it was awesome, and we're so inspired, we love each other, it's great. What about your neighbor? What about your neighbor whose dog comes and runs and you know, does stuff on your lawn, right? Ooh. You know, what about your neighbor who is always cussing and swearing? And we're called to love them too. You know, God defines our neighbor to include even those who are different from us and even those who we might consider as enemies.
Yeah.
Right? It's challenging. Well, he likes Trump. Oh! Okay. Called to love him. You know, loving our neighbors means reaching out to those around us, showing compassion, showing kindness, and showing mercy.
Amen.
Again, seeing through all the outward junk, for the lack of a better word, and seeing what really is in that person, and showing them that love, showing them that compassion, showing them that mercy. It also means caring for the poor.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we'll, I know in Ottawa, it's not only Ottawa, it's everywhere, you know, people are asking for money here and there, and sometimes you just, oh, I'm not giving that. They're going to buy something that's not, they're going to buy drugs with it. Okay, potentially, but we're still called to love. We're still called to take care of the poor. We're still called to advocate for the oppressed. We're still called to stand up for justice. And I want to be careful in that stand for justice, because sometimes we can be very puffed up and feel very right, self-righteous. Oh, you know, justice for all. But again, make sure that we understand that the justice is that because we want to please our God, right? It's not because we've been hurt or something that we don't agree with. No, it's all about God in this. Amen. But it means being a friend to the lonely. It means offering a helping hand to those in need. That's what loving your neighbor is. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Again, this is one of the hardest commands to follow, right? Loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you, praying for those who don't like you. But it's also one of the most powerful commandments, right? Because when we love our enemies, what do? We break the cycle of hate, right? And we know how much hate has destroyed this world and continues to destroy this world. But as we love, and the world sees that love, we break that cycle. And it can start with you today. You don't have to wait to do that. You can do that today and break that cycle. So as we close off here, I've got a few practicals in how we love. So I think it's important that we look at these simple things. I think they're simple, but they're not easy. I think I don't know where I heard that term. Maybe it's Warren Buffett about investing. You know, investing is simple but not easy. It's true. It is pretty simple. Buy something for $1, grows to $2, and keep buying more, right? But if it goes down, then what do? Anyway, all I have to say is investing is simple but not easy. These practicals, loving is simple but not easy. But some of the practicals are, number one, listening. Sometimes, you know, your wife wants to tell you about her day, and you're looking at the football scores. Never happens, right? Not for you. Well, okay, you want to play the piano, Mikael, all right? Whatever, right? But showing true love to your spouse in that period is, you know what? I'm going to stop. As much as I want to look at that score, I want to listen. I'm going to listen to my wife. It doesn't have to take very long, but it's just showing that true love, that true compassion, and giving full attention to someone. Another practical is looking for ways to serve. We talked about that. I mean, there's many ways to serve. All you just got to do is open your eyes. You can stumble into a way to serve people. There's lots of ways we can serve people, but just looking for those ways to help serve someone can show your love in action. Forgiving. Do we hold on to grudges? Are we bitter? It's funny, my wife, I've told her before, sometimes I say, you know, most people, you may be critical, but most people don't even remember these things. Like sometimes someone wrongs you and they don't even remember. And you're holding it and you're grudged, oh man, I can't believe it. And I'm like, babe, you know what? They don't even remember that. but it's hurting you, right? So sometimes we need just to let that go. Now, I'm not saying if someone's hurt you, approach them, obviously, and tell them, you know what, this hurt me. And sometimes they'll be oblivious. I'm like, whoa, bro, sister, I didn't even know. Thanks for bringing it up. But the longer you hold it, the longer you just hold it so tight, you're just like, oh, this is killing me. Yet they're enjoying their life and laughing and having fun. Yeah. But just learning to forgive the way that God has forgiven us. Another practical would be encouragement. You know, showing encouragement, encouraging word can go a long, long way. Yeah. You know, and just be intentional as well. It's not just, hey, bro, love you, which is great if you mean it, But being intentional and speaking, as I think it's called, speaking life into others. You know, simply making a call, say, oh, brother, I'm going to be praying for you. What's going on in your life? Is there something I can pray for you for? You know, just really thinking about encouraging your brother or your sister. And lastly, we've just gone through the summer and we've done this whole pretty encouraging time of prayer, teaching us how to pray and just being involved in prayer and going through the Lord's Prayer. And this is really, I think Wayne talked about this several weeks ago, you know, how powerful prayer is and how much we need prayer in our lives. And it really should be the first and last place we end in loving others, praying for them, praying for whether situations are going on in their lives. Because prayer is an act of love that connects us with God's heart and with God's people. Amen. So brothers, sisters, so as we navigate the complexities of the world, let's think about we are here to live, again, being part of this world, but not of this world. Let's remember that we're here to give. Remember that we're called to live a life of generosity, not out of obligation, not out of compulsion, not out of pressure, but out of love. Amen. And lastly, loving as God loves is not easy. But this is what we're called to do. As disciples of Jesus, we've been given so much. We've been blessed in so many ways. But a love that's unconditional, a love that's sacrificial, and a love that extends not only to this group here, but to everyone, is what we're called to do. It's a love that changes lives. It's a love that changes hearts. It's a love that changes minds. So let us be known as men and women who love well, who give well, who serve well. At this time, if you don't have a communion, please raise your hand. As we go into the communion right now, as we talked about, God made the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. The ushers will come around and give you a communion cup. If you just raise your hand, leave it up until you get one. God made the ultimate sacrifice by giving up his son, his one and only son, so that we, each and every one of us here, could have the opportunity to see God's face in heaven someday. And really at this time, we take this time right now to remember. We should remember every day, but this is a special time on this Sunday. We take this time to remember his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the life thereafter that gives us life as he washed away each and every one of our sins. So as we take communion this morning again, let's think about that we're here to live an incredible life that God has given us, a gift from God, but there's more than that. As we give back and love others, let's go to our Father in prayer before communion. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so, so grateful, yet so undeserving of your love. And Father, we come before you this morning as men and women who are humbled, just that you even want to have a relationship with us. Why us? Who are we that you are mindful of us? Yet you just continue to give and give and give till it hurts. And Father, that ultimate gift was giving of your son, whose body was broken, whose blood was spilt, so that we could have life everlasting. And Father, there's this time as we take the emblems that symbolize his body and blood this morning, let us again never forget that we have so much to be grateful for. Let's never forget, because of this sacrifice, that we can have freedom, true freedom, because of your son. Thank you for this time. Continue to be with each and every one of the souls here in this room and those who are watching online and those who are not here with us. Help us to always be men and women who are mindful of the sacrifice of Jesus. We pray all these things through him. Amen.